Test. A little less nervous this time, I will admit, but still nervous, so bear with me. I am not Pastor Tink. Yes. Woohoo! He is currently down in Springfield doing a panel-esque type sermon with his old church, but he asked me to still step in, and then me and Jeff and Tink have been going through the book of John. We're actually going to go through the whole writings of John over this next course of this year. And I kind of want to highlight a little bit what Tink talked about last week, where he went through verses on chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, ending with Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Sorry, Mom. I did do an right there. Told me not to do it, and I did it. John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Philip, who has seen me as the Father, whoever has seen me as seen the Father, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or who else believe on account of the works themselves. Now we see here, Jesus has been with these disciples for a while now. And we're at the Last Supper. We're up there in the top room. And at that point when Philip asks, show us the Father, Jesus is starting to show his little bit of frustration with his disciples. For they have been with him all that time and seen all his miracles, seen everything that he has done, from turning water to wine, the loaves of bread and fish to feed the 5,000, raising people from the dead, and yet they still do not believe and are showing signs of doubt. Jesus tells them that Jesus is God revealed. He is the visible representation of the invisible God. Their faith needs to be grounded in his words and his works. Now, these verses help set up the promise of the Holy Spirit in verses 15 through 31. Because Jesus could tell his believers would need support when he leaves this world and sacrifices himself. So I'm going to open in prayer and we are going to get into it. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day of life you have given us and for the blessing of gathering in your house. Prepare our hearts and our ears to hear your word. And may that is said and done bring glory to you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, me and Scotty had a long discussion about how I'm going to do this over the past two nights. But I landed on, I'm going to read the whole 16 verses right now, then I'm going to go back and highlight them. So bear with me, because it is 16 verses, and I'm not Tink who can read 40 verses in 2 minutes. All right, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him, or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. In the day that you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, He it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the word? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and bring you your remembrance that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. There are three key themes I want to highlight from these verses. One of them is being the Holy Spirit, Troy. We'll get to you in a minute. If you're keeping notes, three key themes. Key number one, love for Jesus is proven by obedience. We see it right there in the first verse of this section, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The biblical definition of obedience is the active, willing submission to God's authority, motivated by faith, love, and reverence rather than fear. The two greatest commandments told to us by Jesus were love God. Is that me or is that this microphone? Was to love God, love the Lord with God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one was love your neighbor as yourself. Care for others in the same concern that you would have for your own life. We start our Christian walk by first professing our faith. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we see, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Just showing up on church on Sundays is not sufficient enough in the eyes of God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to serve one another. We need to spread the gospel, make disciples, and care for orphans and widows. Now, Noah is not here. I did tell him that I was going to call him out. He got called into work spontaneously. But we can see that. Last year, we went to Sunrise Children Ministry, the boys' home down in Mount Washington. And for the past year, we keep discussing as a men's class that we need to go back. Well, it finally struck a chord in Noah. The Holy Spirit inside of him finally said, enough's enough, we need to go back. So Noah followed what is said to him, and he organized the whole thing. He was awesome. And then we also committed to going at least once a quarter. It was very fun. Matt Beck, that was the second time. John, it was your second time. There were several of us. Rodney, it was your first time. How was it? Great. He can't beat a teenager in a game of sequence, but and he hits kids with frisbees, but it's all kinds of fun down there. But those kids just need us to show them that we care for them, and we are there to help them in their time of need, because some of them have gone through some tragic stuff, and some of us can relate there. So if you're willing to go get with Noah, he's our point person on Sunrise Children Ministry now. All right. Sorry again, Mom. Said it again. One of the last points here for proving our obedience to God's will is in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 14. Jesus answered him, "If anyone who loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." By showing ourselves as being obedient, it proves that we have received God's grace. Obedience is not a condition of God's love. It's a response to it. Where love for Christ is genuine, our obedience will flow naturally in our lives. All right, point number two. Or theme number two. God dwells with believers through the Holy Spirit. Thursday night, I called Troy because me and Tink run the men's Sunday, the Titus 10 class. We tag team it. And Tink was not going to be here. And having my mind all wrapped up in the sermon, I was like, I did not feel like I could run the class and keep it all together. I'm not as well versed as Tink. So I called Troy on my way home, and I was like, "Troy, can you lead Sunday school class? You've done it before for us." And I was like, "I'm preaching on your favorite subject." And Troy, as loud as could be, "The Holy Spirit!" I could see him doing his little fist pumps when I said it too. And so I told you I'd take a shot at you right there. God dwells with believers through the Holy Spirit. So we see this in chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit is here right now in this room. That is evident from us that have been here at Bellevue for a long time. But he's not everywhere. He's not just hanging up right there by that projector screen. He's in all of you who believe. We are the physical vessels for the Holy Spirit. He is to be our helper until Jesus' return. And we see how he helps us in verse 26. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit teaches truth. He reminds us of the word when we don't know it off the top of our heads. He is the voice and the feeling in our hearts to continue Jesus' work. If we do that, continue Jesus' work, we are going to hear some of the greatest words that we could ever hear. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Believers are not left as orphans. We as believers are God's children. And what a feeling it is to be called son or daughter of God himself. We saw that If you were here a couple of years, 2 years ago, when I preached on the hearing of the rising of Jairus' daughter and the healing of the woman who bled for 12 years, she believed that Jesus could heal her. And the first thing he said to her, "Daughter, rise. Daughter, stand up." What an overwhelming feeling that must be to be called the daughter of the living God. Even though Jesus is no longer physically with us, we still feel his presence through the Holy Spirit until he returns. And then the last point I have, number three, Jesus gives peace and prepares his people. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Christ's peace is different from world's peace. World's peace is simply to manage conflicts. Christ's peace and biblical peace is meant to heal what is broken. Well, we see how peace in our lives comes from Christ in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." We must put trust in God's plan. God's plan brings us a sense of peace. Take here at Bellevue, for example. Over the last 222 years of us being here, we have seen many funerals. I know that's morbid to say, but we have shown trust and belief in God that those who have passed have gone home to be with Christ. This gives us an overwhelming feeling of peace that they are home with the Father. At the end of the chapter, Jesus is preparing his disciples not to be frightened when he departs from this world, for he is leaving those who truly believe the Spirit to bring us understanding. Verses 27 through 31. "Peace I leave with you. May peace I give to you. Not as the word gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you." That is one of the many times that he has said, I'm leaving. I'm going to be home with the Father. "If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." Jesus trusts his Father. How we need to trust in God. We must surrender ourselves completely to God and let him be the rudder that steers our lives. All right, I'm wrapping it up here because I know everybody's hungry. In conclusion here, until Jesus returns to this world, he calls us to a love that obeys. He promises his presence through the Holy Spirit. He gives us peace. When we love Jesus, walk with the Spirit, and trust God's plan, we can live in peace no matter what lies ahead in our lives. The Holy Spirit is in you who believe. Now, those of you who have not professed faith yet, but you have that inkling, that feeling inside of you, that is your start of the Holy Spirit coming inside of you. If you have that feeling, trust in it. Trust that God wants you to be with Him forever in glory. Now, as I close us in prayer, I'm going to ask Jeff to stand in the back room, please, sir. I will be up front. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you in this moment, and if you're just having trouble trusting, please come to me, Jeff, and we can help pray for you. The altar is also open if you would like to come up here and pray at the altar. But please, if it is coming, that feeling is coming inside of you that you want to believe and trust in God, come here. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we leave this place, help us not to be hearers only, but doers of your word. Guide us by your Spirit, empower us to live holy lives, and give us boldness to walk in obedience and truth. May your Spirit lead us through this week, and may our lives bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.